You're listening to 3 and 30 Takeaways for Moms, episode 46. Three life-changing mantras to remember during the marathon of motherhood. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast for moms who want to create more meaning in motherhood. Each 30-minute episode will feature three doable takeaways for you to try at home with your family this week. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. Thank you so much for being here. In college, I ran 7 half marathons, and I found exhilaration in the training, and I loved the challenge of race day. But one thing that I thought of every single time I finished one of those races is I cannot imagine turning around and running that distance back. And so even then, at like the peak of my fitness level, I never wanted to run a marathon because I knew how hard it would be. But today on the podcast, we have a guest who is a friend of mine, a mother of 5, and a marathon runner. And she and I first connected on Instagram earlier this year when she was training for the Boston Marathon, which, if you know anything about running, is a really elite race. You can't just sign up for it. You have to qualify. So she really is an excellent runner. And I got to watch her progress over the months that she was training and sharing her excitement and her ups and downs and rejoice with her after she finished that race. And what struck me the most about her posts on Instagram about this running journey was that they really weren't just about running. They were about life and about undertaking anything hard in life. And so that's why I asked her to come on today. You don't have to be a runner to learn from this episode. You are going to love hearing about these life-changing mantras and perspectives that she learned about in her training as a runner. So I would love to welcome to the podcast Taffy Michaeli. Hi, Taffy.
Hi, Rachel.
So good to have you here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
So I gave a little background of you there. Mm-hmm. But before we dive into the takeaways, I did want to ask you a little bit more about your running journey. I mean, you have 5 kids, so a lot of people might think it would be impossible to run a marathon with 5 kids. I mean, how did you end up in this place as a runner?
Okay, so back in high school, I played sports and I ran track a little bit, but I didn't really get into a lot of long distance running. But then in college, I just started running for exercise and found that I really loved it. And my 3rd year of college, my sister was living with me, and the two of us got this crazy idea that we wanted to run a marathon. And at that point, for me, it was just like a bucket list item. I just thought, if I can finish a marathon, like that, I will feel so amazing. And so we set out to run a marathon, and we trained together, and we didn't really know much what we were doing, but we did it and we both finished. Our goal was to run the whole thing, and we both did that. And then in the few years after that, my sister went on to run a few more marathons and qualified for the Boston Marathon, but didn't actually go run it. And in the meantime, I got married, started having babies, and I didn't run any more marathons at that point. I kept running just as exercise, and I would enter a race every now and then. And I did a handful of half marathons through my mothering years. But in the back of my mind, I always thought, you know, if I ever run a marathon again, I'm going to try to qualify for Boston. And if I ever do qualify for the Boston Marathon, I'm going. I'm going to go run that thing. And so when my 5th baby was 2 years old, we had decided that our family was complete at that point. And so I knew I wasn't going to be going through another pregnancy and nursing babies and stuff. And it just felt like the right time to chase that goal. And so I set the goal and found a training plan that worked well for me and my family, and went after it. And so then last fall, I ran the Huntsville Marathon in Utah and qualified for Boston. And it was so exciting. But then I had to train again for another marathon. And so just this last spring, I headed to Boston in April and fulfilled that goal of running the Boston Marathon.
That is so amazing. And what I love about that story is that your dream was still waiting for you. I think sometimes we feel like once we have kids, it's all over, you know, but that goal was just on the other side. And it even being a physical goal, like some people might think, well, after I have five kids, there's no way I would be able to run a marathon. But you were still able to do that even after having babies.
Yeah. And I think especially when you have those goals still in mind, you can keep doing little things. You know, I hadn't quit running altogether. It just wasn't maybe at the scale that I, you know, deep down wanted to try. So yeah, it was still there for me.
Yeah. Oh, I really love that. And I feel like if people listening to this, I mean, some people may be runners, but a lot of people won't be. But I feel like that's mm-hmm. so applicable to any hobby, passion, goal yes. that we have, is to keep doing little things throughout our mothering years. And then mm-hmm. in a different stage, we might really be able to dig in deep to those goals. And it sounds like you have learned so much about life from running. And that's why I invited you on. I've loved your takeaways that you've shared on your Instagram account, which isn't really a running account so much as just a life account. And I was wondering if you could share three of the mantras that you use when you run, or lessons that you've learned when you run, to get through the marathon of motherhood or of life.
Yes, absolutely. So the first one is to notice the tailwinds. A couple years ago, I heard about a study while listening to a podcast. I love podcasts. And I heard about a couple psychologists noticed this trend in human behavior where it seems like we have it a little bit harder than the next guy. You know, we think that our parents are a little bit harder on us, or our sports team always has the roughest road and things like that. And so they did some studies to find out if this was just a perception that they had, or if this was something that was really going on. And so after conducting all these studies, they found that as humans, we indeed do tend to think that our own life is a little bit harder than the next guy. Mm. And they published these findings in a paper, and they called it the headwinds, tailwinds asymmetry. And when I heard about this study really resonated with me and made a lot of sense because of my experience with running. I understood what they meant by headwinds and tailwinds. And where I live in Wyoming, it is really windy. We have a lot of windy days. And so I had, you know, over the course of years, spent a lot of time running in the wind. And so a headwind is when you're running like straight into the wind. The wind is blowing at you.
Against you.
And then, yes, against you. And whereas a tailwind is when the wind is coming from behind you and blowing in the same direction that you're running. And
mm-hmm. and kind of pushing you along, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so there's been many times I've been out on a run and I feel like, wow, I am really doing well here. This is a good day. My pace is nice and fast. It feels so easy. And then I turn around and I realize that what was really going on wasn't me so much. It was that I had a tailwind, because now I'm into the headwind that I didn't realize was there. And so we're so aware, like even if there's just a little headwind, I know it. Mm-hmm. And but we're not as aware of the tailwinds. And this is true for us in life and in motherhood too. I think it's so easy to notice all the things that are kind of hard, the things that seem to not be going right or going well for us, and mm-hmm. but we're less aware of all the things that are making it easier and actually helping us along the way.
Pushing us along and yes. giving us that wind to, you know, I want to say the wind beneath our wings, but that sounds so corny, but all the things that are aiding us along our journey, we don't notice those as much as the things that are hard, that are pushing against us. This yeah. is so true. And I've heard you talk about how this came into play in specifically in your experience in the Boston Marathon. So can you talk a little bit about what the weather was like that day in yeah. Boston?
Yeah. So about a week before the marathon, I started checking the weather. Because, you know, if you're going to go out and run for 26 miles, it's nice if the weather is nice. And it wasn't going to be. And I was getting a little worried about this. And I thought, well, maybe it'll change. You know, sometimes forecasts change as it gets closer. And I just kind of kept that hope alive. But finally, the night before the race, the forecast I knew was right at that point, wasn't going to change. And the high or the temperature during the race was going to top out maybe at 40. And it was going to rain, 100% chance of rain the entire way. It wasn't going to ever let up. And we were going to have a headwind. We were going to be running into a wind about 30 mile an hour headwind. And of course, that didn't sound fun to me. And I thought, like, are you kidding? I've waited all these years to come run this race, and this is the experience that I'm going to have, you know? And as I was kind of just sitting there in my hotel that night, pouting a little bit about what the weather was going to be, I had this little prompting that said, pay attention to the tailwinds. And I knew it wasn't about literal tailwinds because there weren't going to be any. And I understood what it meant. There were so many things that had gotten me to that point that had helped me on the journey to reach that goal. And so I made a plan. I like to have a mental strategy during a race, and I really had none at that point except survive. And I was able to make a mental strategy, I guess, that for every mile of the race, I was going to focus on one tailwind, one thing that had gotten me there, that had helped me along the way that maybe I hadn't paid attention to, hadn't really noticed. And as I did that throughout the course of the race, it absolutely made that experience for me. Like, I just didn't notice the rain and the wind nearly as bad as what it said. I watched videos after and heard other people talk about the experience after. And I was like, what? That looks so much more horrible. That sounds more way more horrible than what I experienced. And I really think that it was because of the focus on the gratitude, the focus on everything that helped me along. Just, I didn't notice it so bad. It wasn't so bad.
And I love this that you actually had a marker, like a trigger that reminded you to be grateful that, you know, every time you saw that mile marker, you thought of one more blessing that had gotten you to Boston. And I feel like moms could definitely do this in our lives, like even if it's just a gratitude journal at the end of the night or whatever it might be, but to have little triggers and rituals and routines that remind us to maybe stop focusing so much on the headwinds that are slowing us down or making things hard in our motherhood, but think about those tailwinds. So, what are some of the specific things that you listed off as you were running?
Okay, so there were some strange ones that came to mind, but I at one point looked down and noticed my shoes. They were wet at that point, but I thought, oh my gosh, shoe technology. Like, who came up with this? I'm grateful for these people I've never met that came up with better and better shoes for runners so that we can protect our feet through all of that. Because, you know, had I tried to do that, you know, 50 years ago, I'm sure there weren't the right shoes for it. And then maybe a little bit more obvious ones, but one I thought of, my husband is a rancher, and he was able to take my little kids a lot of days in the mornings when I would go out on long runs, and that helped me in my training so much. And I was just so grateful for, you know, just the little things that maybe I had taken for granted.
Well, that is beautiful and so inspiring. I feel like that alone is that's a great podcast right there. Just notice the tailwinds. But there's more. You have more.
I do.
What is your second takeaway?
Okay. My second takeaway is to look up. And this came to me several years ago before I was training for the marathon, but I was out working toward a half marathon and I was on a longer run and I was really focused on my pace. I was wanting to run a faster half marathon. And so I was out on this run focused on my pace and I was doing really well. And I was running a loop, and I was coming up on kind of one of the turns in the loop when I had this little voice say, hey, look up. And as I did, I looked up, and off to my left in my view was the Uinta Mountain Range. We live about 30 miles from the base of the Uintas, and so we have this just beautiful view of the whole range. And I could not believe, I was 45 minutes into the run, and that range was in sight the entire time, but I had not even looked up one time. That was the first time I'd even taken a look at it. And then I realized I'm going to be turning here in like a minute, and it's going to be behind me. I won't be able to see it anymore. And I was so disappointed. Like, oh, I missed out this chance that I could have enjoyed this beauty during my run because I was just so focused on my pace, looking down at the path in front of me. And as I made that turn, the voice said, "Hey, this is like mothering. Look up. Don't get so worried about the problems that are directly in front of you or keeping up that frantic pace. Just look up and pay attention to your kids now while you're mothering and before those years are behind you." Yeah. And it was such a powerful moment for me.
Yeah. And the beauty that is there, it's not like we have to do anything to create it. It's already there. If we're just aware of it and we look up at it. I think nature has so many metaphors for us. And another one I read in the Hands Free Mama book by Rachel Stafford, she talked about sunsets and how it's a similar idea that one night she was out and she saw this gorgeous sunset and she's like, "You're kidding me. This happens every single night." Like she's like, but normally she's like in her house doing dishes, whatever. And she's like, the sunset is happening and I'm not even aware of it. And it's beautiful. And she tied that to mothering as well and said, we have these sunset moments that we miss. Like they're happening right in front of us. These interactions between our kids that are beautiful. These moments where they do something that's so funny and cute or whatever. And we just miss it because we're so busy. And we just need to look up a little bit and notice those things.
Yeah, it is. It's right there. And you know, my first thought after I realized what had happened is, maybe I needed to slow down. Maybe if I wasn't trying to run such a fast pace, I could have looked up. And then I thought, I could have looked up as I was doing it. And I think sometimes, I mean, at least for me, there's times in my life when I think, oh, I just want this to slow down. You know, I've got kids from 14 down to 3 right now, and we're going 100 different directions. And I just think if this could just slow down, I could notice the beauty. I could, you know, look up and see my kids better. But I've felt that I really don't have to. I can take advantage of like little moments where, you know, even like I'm on the way to piano lesson, but instead of just having my head down going, I can visit with that kid and take advantage of that one-on-one time. And so I think there's ways that we can look up without even having to slow down.
Yeah. That's profound because for so many of us, sometimes there's not really an option to slow down, but you don't have to. You can still enjoy these things even if you haven't. And I can't hear the phrase look up without thinking of Dr. Katy Penry. She was a guest on my podcast earlier in the year, and she has what she calls the look up challenge, where she challenges parents to look up from their phones and engage with their kids. And it's been the most popular episode on my show by far. And I do think that could be why we're missing a lot of these sunset moments, is because we're down looking at our phones and we're distracted. And so if we can just look up from those, it will help so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved that episode, by the way. And it inspired me to take some action this summer. And I took a couple weeks just off of social media completely. And it was amazing. I just felt like I was able to stop worrying about what my life looked like or what anybody else's life looked like and just look up at the beauty of my life.
Mm. Yeah. And what is your third takeaway or mantra that you've learned in running?
Okay, my third takeaway is to run the mile you are in. Last spring, while I was getting ready for Boston, I had a run that I went out on, and it was my first time running at marathon pace. And so in my marathon training, I spent quite a bit of time running shorter distances at a faster pace or else long runs at a slower pace. And this was my first time just kind of testing out that goal race pace. And in the first mile, I just thought, oh my gosh, this is too fast. This is not, I don't think I can do this for 10 miles. And I finished it though. I finished that first mile right on pace, and I was in the second mile and still had these kind of thoughts running in my head about the future miles. And I started to really panic and thought, I can't keep this up. What am I doing? I need to slow down. And I had a thought, just run the mile you're on. You are doing it right now. Just take it 1 mile at a time. And so that's what I decided to do. And I thought, you know what, if I crash at the end, I crash, but I'm going for it. I'm taking it 1 mile at a time, doing the best I can. And so mile two, I ran, it was right on pace. Mile three, I just kept focused on mile three and hit the pace. And about 7 miles in, I realized, like, you know what, I'm doing this. And I've hit every mile right on, and I've got three more to go. And I, at that point, had confidence in what I was doing. And it wasn't until I got home that I was able to kind of make this connection that it's the same way for me as a mom. At each phase in my motherhood, you know, when I had little toddlers and babies, there would be people that would warn me about, you know, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems. Mm-hmm. I know they mean well, but focusing like that and thinking that it's only going to get harder doesn't really help me. It doesn't help me be the best kind of mom I can be. And I really just do best if I stay in the mile I'm in.
Yeah. And this, I think, can have very far-reaching implications, this mantra. One of my favorite religious sermons that I've heard is called Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. And it's by D. Todd Christofferson. And he talks about how there are some trials in life that are daunting because they're kind of endless, like having a child with a disability that you need to care for the rest of your life, or mm-hmm. having a chronic disease or divorce that's going to affect your family forever, things like that. And he said that if you think that way and you look ahead to the pain, you'll get so overwhelmed, and you just have to trust that the Lord provides day by day, that he gives bread day by day, and stay in today. And my favorite mm-hmm. story from that sermon was, I think it was his mother had been diagnosed with cancer and had been told that she had to do this many dozen chemotherapy treatments. And she did the first couple and was so sick that she said to her mother, I cannot do 20 chemotherapy treatments or whatever it was. I literally cannot. I won't survive it. And her mom said, can you do today's? Just do today's yeah. treatment. And that touched me so profoundly. And so if there's anybody out there who's going through one of those trials that it's daunting when you look ahead, don't look ahead. Just stay in the mile you're in, run the mile you're in, and yeah. Little blessings will come that will get you through.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And another thing that I have done sometimes as a mom is the looking back. And, you know, looking back to previous miles doesn't really help me, whether it's looking back as like, oh, it was so much better then, it was so much easier then, that's not helpful. But also, I sent my second to youngest to kindergarten. And the night before he went to school, I had a little mom breakdown. And, you know, partially just sad that time with him was over and he was going to be going to school and things were going to be different, but also just like some regret and some guilt about maybe things I hadn't done as well as I wanted to. And so I was sitting in my room kind of crying about it. And I realized, you know, sitting in this guilt and regret about the past isn't going to help me right now in this next phase. Mm-mm. And so, you know, maybe I got an idea or two from feeling a little guilt, like I want to do something differently. But if I were to stay in the emotions of the guilt and the regret, that's not going to help me. I just need to run this new mile that I'm in and do the best that I can right now.
Yeah. And you know, you comforted me with that this week. I posted on Instagram that I feel a lot of regret about the summer and how hard it was yeah. to balance trying to do this podcast and be a full-time stay-at-home mom, and how I really felt like my kids had gotten kind of the raw end of the deal and watched a lot of TV, and that makes me feel disingenuous as this motherhood podcaster. And you commented and said, run the mile you're in with a smiley face, because you knew that we were going to record this episode together. But it's so true. And that was really comforting to me to be reminded of that, that don't sit in the regret. I am going to take some time now to journal and write out, okay, these are things I learned. These are things I want to do differently next summer. Mm-hmm. But then just move forward.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Taffy, this has been so insightful. I just love that your passion, your hobby has led to so many insights and revelations about life and trials and motherhood. And I really think that that is true for whatever our interests and hobbies are as mothers, that it really is worth leaning into and investing in those things. Even sometimes they take a little bit of time away from our families. That's okay. The things that we take away are going to bless our family so much from the lessons we learn from our own passions.
Absolutely. I mean, running is fun and the races are fun, but honestly, like, the lessons that I learn from it are why I keep at it.
Yeah.
I just think that any experience in life, if we're not learning from it, it's just kind of wasted.
Yeah. Well, can you end by recapping for us your three takeaways from this episode? And then we'll tell listeners a little bit more about how they can find more of you elsewhere. But let's start with a recap of your three takeaways.
Okay. The first takeaway was to notice the tailwinds. So just pay attention. What are the little things helping you along in life, helping you along in motherhood that maybe we're not aware of? The second one is to look up. Pay attention to the beautiful moments, your kids, while you have the chance, before you turn and that opportunity is behind you. And then the third one is to run the mile you are in. We can't do anything about the miles ahead, and we can't do anything about the miles behind us, but we can always just do the best in the mile that we're in right now.
Mm. I love it, Taffy. I'm sure people listening are thinking, where can I hear more from her? So I wanted to let people know that you have a podcast now that you do with your sister-in-law. And please tell us more about that.
Yeah. So we are called the Joyful Soul Project. She is a life coach, Heidi, and I'm a health coach. And we believe that a joyful soul is created from a happy mind and a healthy body. And we believe that we just need to be taking care of both of those aspects of ourselves all the time. And so we alternate on the podcast. Heidi shares things that help you to have a happy mind, things about mental and emotional health. And I share the physical side of it, things to help us have a healthy body and a good relationship with our bodies.
Mm. And I was honored to be a guest just this week on the Joyful Soul Project. And you and I talked a lot about having a good relationship with our bodies and how that's been a journey for me because of infertility and some of the things that I've gone through. So if people are interested in checking out your podcast, they could start. The most recent one is our episode together, so they can get more of us together if they head over there. So it's the Joyful Soul Project that I'm sure they just look that up on a podcast app. Right?
Yep. And then just search the Joyful Soul Project.
Great. And then what is you have a really cool challenge going on right now that I wanted to make listeners aware of. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So we have a totally free challenge for moms. We're calling this the Small and Simple Things Challenge. And I think it's just an awesome thing to do as you're sending your kids back to school. I always feel just a little bit of motivation for myself to try to take on something new or different or improve in some way. And so this is what we're offering for moms to do that exact thing. And we just really feel like we don't need to make big, huge changes in our lives or have a complete change in our circumstances in order to feel more joy. And that really joy comes from small and simple things that we do each day. And so what this challenge is, it goes for 4 weeks, And each day you will have one challenge for your mind and one challenge for your body. And these are, like we say, small, simple things. They take maybe 5 minutes of your time. And we just know at the end of the 4 weeks, you know, as you do these things daily, you will feel more joy. It's not competitive. There's no points. If you miss a day, you know, you don't have to be perfect. Just jump in the next day and you can get right back at it.
Okay. And they can find that on your website?
Yes. So head to thejoyfulsoulproject.com and you can sign up for that. And then you'll be able to download and print it out and have your little calendar.
Perfect. And I know I've heard you say that you're going to be doing some things daily on Instagram having to do with that. And that's also the Joyful Soul Project on Instagram as well. And I will be following along, and I hope that some of my listeners will as well. So thank you, Taffy, so much for coming on and teaching us so much. These lessons are profound. Really, they're life-changing if we could really remember these three things. And we're just so glad that you gave us some of your time today.
Thank you so much, Rachel. It was an honor.
I'm so grateful to Taffy for that inspiring and life-affirming interview. And if you want to receive her three takeaways in writing, please go and sign up for my newsletter that I send out once a month. It has a recap of the three takeaways from every single episode on the podcast so far. So you can print them out. You can remember what you have learned. That's 3in30podcast.com/takeaways. I'll be sending out the sheet from August this week. So go and get signed up now. I wanted to end by reading a post that Taffy put on Instagram just a couple of days after she ran that Dream Come True Boston Marathon. The picture was her laying in her bed, looking tired, and this is what she wrote. "Some days I run marathons. The part of my humanness that is the conqueror shows up, and I feel unstoppable. Lots of people tell me how amazing it is, and I get to feel a tiny glimpse of celebrity. And then other days, I lay in bed exhausted in every way. I sleep in while my husband gets the kids up and off to school, and I wake to the sound of my littles watching TV and feeding themselves. I could think of 100 things I want to do, but not a single thing I want to do right now. My profile picture is my best self. I'm put together, focused, and ready to take on the world. And it is real. But this part of me, this lying in bed with yesterday's makeup and a nice case of bedhead, this is real too. Being a human is complex. Confidence is embracing it all. You have permission." And with Taffy's very wise words in your ears, I hope that you have a great week with your family.